And we're back. And we are in fact joined by, I'm going to use the phrase Dark Souls legend. A true master of the Fun Software games, unprecedented, unmatched on his knowledge, as if I didn't do enough hyping up, Mr. Dan Tack. Dan, thank you so much.
Hi, Bob. It's great to be here. Thank you. Thank you so much for the invitation. It's like a classy crowd here, Dark Souls pros. Great to be here.
Mostly classy, but yes, I appreciate it nonetheless. But yeah, we are going into the boss rankings for Dark Souls 2. And Adam, you have compiled a full comprehensive list of just an insane amount of bosses that Dark Souls 2 holds.
To remind everyone, Dark Souls 1 with the DLC included had 26 total bosses. And with Dark Souls 2 DLC included, we beefed that up to 41. And for those who were privy to our first episode of Dark Souls 1, I think our ranking conversation went at about 2.5 hours. We are going to try to work some magic and bring this discussion under that. We're going to see if we can do that.
Yes. Should be noted, all these the rankings were voted by you. I'm pointing to a camera. It's audio only. But I'm pointing to a camera because it was voted by the MinMax community on who their favorite bosses were. Ranking of what? 1 to 10, rating every single boss, right?
Yep, that's correct. We got rid of the convoluted drag and drop, put them in order of Dark Souls 1, and this seemed like an easier and more enjoyable way to do it for people. So I think we're going to stick with it as we move on with the rest of the games in From's library.
Agreed. But yeah, what do we got there at the bottom of the list so for Dark Souls 2?
Starting off, number 41, I think the least bossy boss in the game, we have Prowling Magus and Congregation. I think most of us can argue that this is the bottom of the heap, because this just doesn't feel like a boss at all. I don't know if anyone
has I would say that, you know, this is almost sort of a tradition to have this kind of bunch of cleric style bosses. You know, they did it again in Dark Souls 3, obviously a little better. You know, this isn't the first time they're just like, hey, let's just throw a bunch of garbage units at you and see what happens. I will say the fight is trash, but at least it's a surprise. You know, that's that one you have no idea that you're going into a boss battle, really.
Oh, not at all.
No. And true. You're just like, whoa, all of a sudden I'm in a church with a bunch of guys throwing crap at me.
it's a brief moment of shock. Oh my gosh, there's a boss. And then the realization, oh, this isn't really a boss.
Yeah, it's really just regular enemies. But hey, somebody had to be number 41, right?
Literally, while doing the ranking for this, I had to Google them because I forgot that they were in the game. They were that forgettable, and I went, "Oh yeah, in the church."
They had a title, said, apparently.
Yeah, I didn't remember their names whatsoever. So, I think they earned this ranking.
Barely a threat is what I would call Prowling Magus.
At worst, 40, an annoyance.
Yeah. At number 40, we have Covetous Demon, I think a boss that people love to hate.
Really?
Yeah.
He doesn't deserve to be down there. He's got special mechanics. Yeah. You can drop the. Did you know you can drop those bodies from the top and he'll eat them and you can use them?
No, I told them about his move that he can swallow you and he'll de-equip all your items, which people probably don't even know is a move because, you know, when you fight him.
There is so many things, and I'm sure not to interrupt, but I'm sure. There is a lot of depth to Dark Souls 2 bosses that a lot of people don't know, and I'm sure we're going to get into on some of the big bosses, the cool bosses. Yeah. But like, there are mechanics and stuff behind the scenes that are very, you know, people don't know because Covetous Demon, you go in there and you whack him and he's dead, right? But if you didn't want to do that, you can actually shoot down those bodies from the top of the room, and he'll eat those, and you can use those for windows of attack on him. He's like a spider, you know? He's got those bodies wrapped up, and he eats them. He's evil demon guy.
I had no idea about that.
So useful if you didn't have already, like, so many opportunities to attack him normally.
I know. He's kind of a big slug, you know?
But he's just Jabba the Hutt.
it's a new game plus six like tactic, I assume. And
there you
like,
go.
Yeah.
This only was the boss hardcore. I used to farm farm souls. Like I just used a bunch of bonfire anesthetics and you know got several levels.
Bonfire acidic? You mean one of the really cool things in Dark Souls 2 that nobody gives it any credit for?
Yeah, I love
Zing.
That.
There we go.
It might be on someone's list here for strengths or weaknesses for the game.
Yeah.
Oh,
interesting. So, how about a Steeman? Went at number 40. Sorry.
I promise I will not interrupt for every boss here.
It's okay.
It's totally fine.
The very bottom and the very top are usually like the most worthwhile, and then the middle are just like,
I don't know. I feel like I'd have a good bit to say about most of these. Well, yeah, there's a few, but let's keep it going. And at number 39, we have Royal Rat Vanguard, which I think should be swapped with Authority, honestly.
I can't remember which one's this one.
This one is a bunch of multi rats, right? Just to fight with a bunch of rats.
Yeah, Vanguard's just the one where you kill 10 of them and then the big guy.
And then the other one is just Sif, but a rat.
Well, the thing I hate about, and we'll just go right into Authority, because Authority is actually number 38. The thing I hate about Royal Rat Authority is those rats at the beginning that can give you toxic. And if you don't kill them,
if you don't kill them fast enough,
if you kill them, you're fine. If they toxic you, you're screwed. There's too much going on.
Now that fight's a curious one. I mean, I don't like the fight. It's not good. But I remember the first time I played through the game, obviously during the review process when you have no one to turn to for help like the internet. Mm-hmm. I actually thought that was a progression boss. I was down there and I was like, okay, I gotta beat this guy.
Oh, God.
Obviously you don't. He's completely optional, but I died a few times on him.
Not only optional, but one of the most optional bosses. Like it's just for the
only has applications trial. For the Covenant. Yeah,
correct. But not one I enjoy doing.
Those two are interchangeable for their banality for me.
Yeah,
they're both just meh.
They both suck. But you know, Dark Souls 2, like you get so many bosses, they can't all be winners, right?
Oh, totally.
Also, that area. I remember first time going through Doors of Pharos, and I didn't know, like, I assumed like all those doors would have something really nice behind them, and I wasted so many of my lockstones going through that area.
Such a troll.
It's a cool looking area, though. I'm sure you guys are going to talk about it in the area section, so I'll refrain from going on and on about every single one of these bosses.
But,
I feel like it, just before we continue on, this is indicative of, I think, a big problem with Dark Souls 2's bosses in general is how many of these are just like mini bosses with a title.
Yeah. I mean, thinking back to Dark Souls 1, I mean, a lot of these are ones that you'd kind of attribute to like fighting, I don't know, like the Hydras. I'm trying to think of other ones. Maybe even fighting like the gargoyles again, like in Inner Londo in a way.
They're just world encounters.
Yeah,
they don't really deserve like boss titles.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, coming in at a non-optional. Okay, I would call it non-optional, but you do have ways to get around it. But coming in at number 37, we have Dragon Rider, singular.
this guy.
So
only half as good as Twin.
Yeah. I had a good time trying to, this time I, instead of fighting him straight on, as I have done before, I just was trying to get him to fall off the edge, and I did die a few times rolling off trying to get him to do that, and I finally did it, and it was very satisfying, and probably not worth the time, but this guy's a big joke.
How the hell did this guy get lower than the double dragon fight, which is like just total? That's what I was shocked by.
All they do is
take two of them and throw them in a room.
And I guess it's people looking at them like separated, like, well, this one's tougher maybe, so they ranked it higher. But I feel like it should be worse because it's just taking one bad fight and putting two of them there where they could have done something new.
You know what? I don't like the Dragon Rider fight, and it's not good, but I appreciate where it is in the game. It's sort of an introductory level fight.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to be fighting a lot of armored dudes in this game, and here's your first one, and there's some tricks you can use to beat them if you want.
But what's frustrating is that the enemies in that area before him are harder to fight than he is.
Yeah.
This is true. This is true.
Especially that big Colosseum with like three of them that are all lined up. Those standard enemy knights. Those will give me more trouble than these guys.
I just blew them all up with dark spells. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, we got a magic user in here. The rankle is painted.
I'm sorry. Is that something hidden in my Zweihander, or do I like have to press an extra button? I'm not familiar.
Rook. I used magic my first Dark Souls 2 playthrough. I liked it a lot, but I probably had a better time running my decks and then going to smash stuff. But it was I do like Dark Souls 2 magic.
I'd never really used the magic much beyond a few miracles in my first run through the whole series, but this time I wanted to try a Dark Spearkinist, basically. So I used a lot of hexes, and I feel like this one had the most for me in that respect, which was fun.
Moving on with the list, we have at 37. Actually, I don't even... Oh, no, sorry, that was 37. 36, we have Twin Dragon Riders. So,
hey!
Separated by a point from Dragon Rider. Dragon Rider got a 3.6 average. Twin Dragon Riders got a 4.6. So, but yeah, it just a very frustrating, like, because Drangolette Castle was super cool to go through for the first time. And there is a better boss that we'll get to at the end of the castle. But like, for this to be the first boss, and I'm like, what? Are you for real? Like,
kind of like the warm up, all right? It's kind of like the bonfire gatekeeper.
Yeah. It's just, but it goes to what Rook's point is, like, I'd rather, like, they didn't need to have like a big boss health bar. Like, these could have just been two enemies in this room that you have to get past, you know. But I guess, like, theoretically, if it was just two enemies in a room, you could just run past them or something. I don't know. They could have done something like let them drop a key or something like that.
Or
they
a didn't gate.
Slow gate or something.
Pull a lever.
I'm not going to defend that. Nobody's going to defend that boss. You know, it's just the way it is. Sometimes not everything can be a winner.
I would love if there was some deep lore that these were triplets. Dragon Rider and Twin Dragon Riders. Yeah. It's hidden very deep in the game.
Well, of course, we can just make it up like they do for half of Dark Souls. So it'd be like, it's very deep, guys. You just don't understand. Let me go make a 30-minute YouTube video about these guys.
Let me update my the Fextra Life page, and we will get this canon.
That's how it goes, too. That's how it happens. You'll see people like defend it to the death. I'll be like, they never say that in the game. And it's like, well, I saw it on YouTube. And it's like, okay, all right, I'm just going to walk away.
The internet
now
wouldn't lie. That's not why it's there.
Now, coming in next is actually one that is maybe like bottom of the barrel for me, like just over Prowling Magus, I would think. But Belfry Gargoyles, hate this.
I don't like this fight either. I think it's you know, obviously, while it is, it's just a fight from one, but more. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah,
I
but
get it.
More frustrating. It's more frustrating. It's just like I spent so much time. I probably spent like 7 minutes just running around in circles while there were two or three of them left, and then like poking them once and running away. And that is not what I want to do in a boss fight.
I will say this. The intro to them that you can get when you're going up that tower that you go before the lost, before the sinner, there's like, you can hear them screeching and you can see them in the distance coming at you. That part is like, you're like, whoa, I'm scared. Cool. And you might fall off the tower.
Yeah, it's...
But Bob, I heard a little. You know, do you enjoy this fight?
I don't hate it, but it would probably rank about here for me.
Yeah.
Only because it's a total rehash of the first. And like my whole experience with it in this game was that I fought them very early on. They were annoying, so I left, and then I forgot that I didn't beat them. And so they were like second or third to last boss that I ever fought. And I went, wait a minute, did I never beat Belfry Gargoyles? And then
so
I went back and I just crushed them. So it felt kind of cathartic to be able to do that. But honestly, it's a very uninspired fight. It's like the same exact arena as the first one. Just, you know,
times like... three.
Yeah.
I think there's five of them total in this one, maybe. I think that's right.
Yeah. This one and another one that I'm sure we'll be seeing soon just felt like they wanted extra bosses. They had character models from the first game, and they straight up just copied them over.
I mean, this isn't the only game they do that with, all right? From Software loves their assets, yeah. All right?
We talked about about the demons and Dark Souls 1. That was just... I didn't want to go...
Three of them. Yeah, like the Abyss Demons. Yeah.
If you like this one, it's got fire on it this time.
Uh-huh. All right, next one coming in at number 34. I don't know if I think this one should be this low, but I get it. The Last Giant. So the first boss people fight in the game.
No, get out.
I don't think it should be this low.
There's nothing wrong with The Last Giant.
No, yeah. I don't know if people put it down here because it's so easy or like... I don't think it's bad. Like I think it's
Is it as much fun as some of the other bosses you will face later? No, but it's also a great first boss too.
He's the perfect first boss. He's like, "Hi guys, I'm Dark Souls. I'm going to teach you.
Yeah.
I'm going to teach you about being a big dumb guy that if I hit you, I kill you. But I'm really slow, so don't get hit."
He has that transformation, like he rips off his arms and he's like, well, I got more range now. He's changing stuff up a little bit. That's better than what Dragon Rider ever did. Well, I guess he did get higher than Dragon Rider, so
he's actually got like a unique move that most players never ever see where he does like this round pound full body thing. You actually have to fight him for a pretty long time to get him to trigger it. Like, pretty cool though, but most players I imagine have not even seen it because he's such a poke poke roll.
Yeah,
but you know what? I think he's cool, and he doesn't deserve this treatment. He doesn't deserve to be down there with Dragon Rider.
I agree. He's about like top 20 for me.
Yeah. The fix is in.
Well, we'll see. Coming in at 33, because I had their names listed at one point. I didn't transfer it over here, but we have the Gank Squad from the Sanctum City DLC. Coming in at number 33, which is
obviously you're referring to the Afflicted Grave Robber, Ancient Soldier Varg, and Sarah the Old Explorer.
Yeah,
who could forget?
Yeah,
you know who could forget? Me. These guys should be a lot lower. It's just like, oh my god, it's Havel. Okay, great guys, we get it.
That's what I don't get it. Like, after all the time people spent, like, there's so many NPC invasions in this game. Like,
right.
I don't need a boss fight that's just NPCs.
That's all it is. It's like, hey, what if you had to beat three invaders at the same time? Yeah. Maybe you need a boss fight. Whoa. Yeah.
Well, then it's like, oh, well, remember Havel? This is the DLC area where you're supposed to do co-op, so that's why we have three of them.
Now, I love Havel, so I do appreciate anytime I see him, but I'm not going to give this fight any props.
I think I spent 15 minutes fighting just the Havel. Like, I took out the other two guys, and I forgot that Havel, he kept using Estus, and I could not get him down, and it was so frustrating, and I was just running around in circles, like, jumping off the ledge, getting a poke at him, then he would heal, then I would have to just hope he wouldn't, like, two-hit me. Anyway, I don't like this fight at all.
Just nothing fancy. And by the time I got there, I was in my full Havel gear also, and I would hope that we would team up and take out these other two losers, but... didn't happen.
It just became a Highlander situation.
Yeah. There can only be one rock.
There can only be Havel. next at 32, believe it or not, we have another reskin fight. But wait,
what?
It's also a gank fight. We have Ludd and Zolan, the King's Pets, following one of the most enjoyable areas in the whole Soul series.
I won't even do it. I don't count doing, like, I know this isn't about the areas, but I don't even count that as part of the DLC. I consider it a full completion without doing that area. That is the worst thing ever.
Yeah, I didn't do it my first playthrough. I made one attempt at it, and I was like, F this. No thanks. I'm totally fine with not doing this. I got so close on this run because I was committed to beating all the bosses. And my first attempt at them, I had them down to one hit left. I got greedy, and I got killed. And I was like, well, I mean, I could do it, I guess. But yeah, that was not fun.
Mm-mm. This is the one boss I didn't beat in Dark Souls 2, and I have no regrets.
Don't feel bad about it.
Rookie, and you didn't fight this boss either, correct?
No, I didn't even touch this DLC.
Yeah.
This DLC is very strong overall.
That's the thing is, I got so burnt out doing the main game itself, and then
the DLC is the best part.
I know, but I did old Iron King DLC and was just so fed up with a couple spots there that By that time, the month is pretty much over. It's like, I'm just going to tap out here. I'll go do it eventually.
Do you see what Blue Smelter Demon does? So bad. There's nothing rewarding here. That you don't get to see a cool new animation. You don't get to see a cool new boss model. The trek to him is a slog and annoying.
Reindeer.
When
I read the soul, like the lore about the creatures are like, it pretty much says that, like the king would send like exiles out to the frozen wastes and Ludenzahn would just like basically just kill them. Like it was basically like, this is where he sent people out to die and his pets would just finish them off. And I thought that was interesting. And that's pretty much the only beneficial takeaway I had from this whole encounter was like knowing that that's what their purpose was. But
Just a real quick shout out also to My Sinclair, who submitted a community comment.
Yay, My!
Who just said, also partially about the, you know, Ava, the king's pet, said she's just not fun to fight. I hate that fight and laugh at the idea of go fight two. Nah, I'm good. which basically sums up my whole opinion on this boss fight.
Yeah. I can get behind that. All right. Coming in at number 31, we have our first Lord Soul boss with the Rotten. So I'm like trying to think what I have at this low, and I'm looking at some other ones. I might have a couple other bosses ahead of it. I didn't think it was awful this time. This is the boss I used most to farm souls, the aesthetics. I think I used that maybe... I went to new game plus four, I think, with the Rotten before I was having too much trouble. I don't know. I don't think it's a bad
fight. I think this fight is barely more interesting than the fight with the Covetous Demon.
Yeah.
I don't want to stop and talk about every boss, but again, this is one of those bosses that you can do cool things with that you may not know. Like you can cut off his arm.
He has I did that this game and that was really cool. He has some cool AoE attacks that cool being like, you know, when you're trying to farm them and then you're like, oh, well, you're new game plus three, this AoE attack will one shot you. But yeah, he has some moves. I think he has some spells that I didn't know he had that I encountered, but that was just me playing it and replaying it and it taking longer. But yeah, especially on the first playthrough and you're kind of blowing through him, you're not going to see a lot of that stuff.
I think the area around him leading up to him is far more interesting than the fight at the arena that he's in.
Sure, the Black Gulch is awesome. Yeah, the Gutter sucks, but the Black Gulch is amazing.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
So coming in right at number 30, we have a divisive boss, to say the least. With Ancient Dragon.
Wow.
This should be lower.
now if we have one, there's not I'll check that again, but we have one person that voted this for a one. We have one person that voted a 10. We have two votes for 9 and two votes for 2. So this was definitely split with people.
Someone put this as a 10 out of 10 boss, Ancient Dragon.
Yeah.
They didn't confuse with Sin from the DLC. They meant Ancient Dragon.
Yeah. I put pictures of it, remember?
That's true.
This is the problem with democracy right here.
Yeah. I don't remember what I gave this one. I'm more positive on it than I think a lot of other people. And I guess it's because I do the cheesing route, and I don't feel like it's a cheesing route because I still think it's kind of tough. But I don't know. Like I get it. It's kind of like it feels like a middle finger boss fight. And I get the frustration with it, especially when you fight it and I told Bob earlier how you don't get the dragon soul from it. You have to go through this whole other convoluted hurdle to get the actual soul of the ancient dragon. But so people don't like ancient dragon, has way too much health and one shot you. And this is a drag to get through. But at number 30, it probably should be a little bit lower.
Yeah, it was going to be my second boss that I didn't beat in Dark Souls 2 because I was just getting so frustrated with it. And again, the run up to him is, I don't know, too long. It's not even that tough, but yeah.
Just... You only have to kill like 3 enemies, I think.
Yeah, unless you aggro any of them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Coming at number 29, Mytha to Baneful Queen. We're getting to the point where like I said earlier, like I don't know if this should be up higher or lower just because of the so many bosses we have. But this got voted right around the middle, like with a 5.46 average. The only interesting thing I have to say about this boss is that you can change the arena that you fight in. But other than that, it's a pretty standard like boss with a spear.
You can indeed take the poison out of it, but I think that takes all the fun away. When I did this fight, I thought you had to do it with the poison the first time. Yeah. And I was like, wow, this is a really interesting fight mechanic. It actually just puts a clock on me, you know, at the beginning. Yeah. So I really got to kill her fast. Pressure's on. Okay, yeah, this boss, I can take it or leave it.
Yeah, it feels very middle of the pack to me. Yeah. Fairly cool design, but nothing outside of that really, you know, made me write home about it.
It's like, yeah, you like Medusa? Cool.
Yeah.
some cool lore with her. I guess like she was queen and poisoned herself to make herself more beautiful, which I don't know if that is a tactic that worked for her. But yeah, I mean, just kind of just part of that long path that is getting to the old Iron King. We might see you soon.
How the hell have we not seen him yet? He should be down near the bottom.
I'm with you on that. I put him pretty low. But before we get to him, at number 28, we have the Ruined Sentinels, which I think is one of the better.
No, yeah, these guys are great. Here. Yeah. Ruined Sentinels is amazing. I know people get it salty because they kill you, but they're awesome.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how Bob and Rook fought these guys, because this is my first playthrough where I didn't immediately go all the way down to the bottom floor
and you fight don't do
all
that.
Three of them at the same time.
You take out one up top before you do anything, and if you're lucky, one of the other ones will jump up.
We'll
and
jump
beat
up.
That one too. You do them one at a time.
Yeah.
Obviously, the fight is fluid, and that will not happen most of the time, and you'll have to fight two at once. But the first one you can always pick off. You know, after that first time, every Dark Souls player walks through that door and gets blasted from the side out of nowhere. We all love that.
So with me, I totally like bypassed this fight for the longest time because I went to Lost Bastille the back route instead of No Man's Wharf this time. I took the Pursuer path and completely forgot about this fight this time. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm forgetting these guys. So I went back and went through that area, and first I died on my first attempt, but that was because I forgot and got knocked off. Second time took out the first one, and then the second one knocked me down, and I took out both simultaneously. But I was a caster, well, kind of like I worked on one casting a little bit, like half their fight, and then I stuck with my dark weapon boost on my spear, and then just destroyed them. I was like definitely out leveling that fight, but it was a fun fight. But I'd also dealt with them a fair amount in Dranglet Castle at the King's Throne bonfire, so I was already used to fighting them already.
I suck in that area. I hate that area so much.
I actually enjoyed that arena more.
Gosh, I always unleash them all, and then I was trying to get the Dark Diver, and you just have to get through them all. But yeah.
But it was a normal fight.
Yeah, when I first played the game, like when it originally came out, I did exactly that. The, you know, take out one of them, hope a second one jumps up, take them out one at a time, or, you know, take out two on the floor. But I remembered that they were in it this time, so I immediately just summoned someone, and it's like, all right, we got a match here, 2-on-3. Let's see what we can do. And then immediately just jumped to the floor and made it like this really epic, like gladiator duel of armor and spears clashing. It was fun. I think I probably had this one ranked a little bit higher because I just had a lot of fun with it. But that was also built off of, you know, having the expectation of what the fight is.
Yeah.
One of my favorite moves they do is, I think one of them, and it always seems to be the last one that I leave alive. Like, we'll have that move where it throws the shield at you, but it doesn't like get it back. Like it's which I think is super cool. Like it can get rid of its shield as an attack to try to bend you off, and then it's just stuck two-handing its weapon, or like its spear or whatever, or like its halberd, whatever it is. I always thought that was really cool.
I just got to say, I love the design of these guys. It's a game mm-hmm. where people complain yeah. that they play. They, you know, people complain a ton about fighting too many armored knight looking bosses. These guys have a really cool style to them, and they are terrifying. You'll have them in your nightmares forever after you get your ass kicked up and down over and over by them, and their spindly little ways.
Yeah, it's a cool fight. It's a great arena.
Yeah,
and I think you can even, like, while you're fighting them, you can open up that, like, because there's illusionary walls on the bottom floor.
Yeah, there are a bunch. Yeah.
Like, during the fight, you can actually, I would think you can actually just climb up and get back around to where you fell, which is cool.
I believe it, yeah.
So, coming at number 27, we have Old Iron King. And I think I voiced my, you know, dislike for this boss earlier to Bob and Rook. How I just feel like I get the spectacle of it. I don't think it makes it a fun fight. And that's basically where I am with it. Like, I think the cinematic's cool. I think his design is super cool. But I don't like the hole. I don't like the hole.
Quote,
I feel like,
unquote.
Yeah.
Adam Walker.
Yeah, cut that out. Face us somewhere else. This one gave me a real hard time when I did it New Game Plus, because I beat him so easily like the first time. But when you fight him again, when he's not like walking through, like after the cinematic, because if you go back after you die, like he's already like set in his spot, but he'll actually be on a different side of the arena. And I had an easier time fighting him when he was like on the left side versus the right side. And that gave me a lot of trouble when I was fighting him on New Game Plus.
Yeah, I think I love the design. I think the arena is really cool, because the first time the first time I was playing through Dark Souls 2, I felt like I had my back up against the wall. And that I was trapped and I was way out of my element fighting a massive foe. And I had all of a corner around a side of a wall of the ruins that I had to my name. And there was still that little trap of the lava pit right in the center that could get you if you weren't paying attention. I thought that was, I think that's a fun design. It's evil for sure. But I thought the fight was at least fun and built around that arena pretty well. It's not like an incredible fight, but it's definitely probably as high up as it is here because of like people like me who enjoyed that dynamic of it, but we could be weird.
I think its design goes a long way. That was my biggest thing I probably had it around here, if not slightly lower. The fight itself was like fine, but its design is really cool. Also, it gets annoying if you don't notice the bonfire at the top of the ladder inside the fire spitting room, which I didn't until I passed it like four times.
Yeah, that's okay though, because nobody actually ever died. You can't die on that boss, right? He doesn't even do anything. You roll a couple
unless
times, you whack him.
Unless you fall in the hole.
Yeah.
But yeah, which happened more in my first playthrough. Like, I didn't know. When you don't know what his attacks are, I think it puts you at risk, because he can like do that sweeping fire breath, if you get hit by that, you'll go flying, which is what happened to me a couple times, especially on the New Game Plus. But yeah, it's just a sit and wait boss, and it's not too difficult once you know what you have to avoid.
Yeah.
Coming in at number 26, we have Aldia, Scholar of First Sin. I don't know how I feel about this fight. it's weird, when I played this time, I beat Throne Watcher, Defender, Ashandra, and Aldia. Like, I didn't die to any of them. So it was like just coming on the third fight, and I was like, am I gonna be able to beat them? Like, I don't have much Estus left, and this is also just a big sit and wait fight, and because he's got that flame shield, and I don't know, it's just kind of like not too tough, not too easy, but wasn't super fun for me.
Yeah, I think it's kind of exhausting at that point too. Like having to fight the Throne Watcher and Defender, then Nishandra, then him, and like yeah, you can basically checkpoint between the bosses, but it's kind of a necessary fatigue built in to the same arena over and over again, fighting like just that gauntlet from the get-go and then slowly progressing forward. It's fine. It's like got cool, like Aldia is a cool concept, but I don't think is worthwhile as much as a boss.
And especially like a double secret final boss. I wanted something more. I just felt
were you expecting him to like climb out of the floor and like see the rest of his body? Like it wasn't just his head exploding.
Cool. I was hoping that the branches would spread open and there would be a tiny bug on the inside. thus making it the perfect final boss fight.
Yeah.
yeah. kind of anticlimactic.
Yeah. After him coming in at we're in the top 25, or if we want to call these still top. We'll say the 25 remaining bosses. Sure. The skeleton lords.
Wait, how the hell did these guys get up here?
That's what I was wondering, why like old Iron King is below these guys.
I know why. Because all these people that voted are like, oh my god, it's got skeleton wheels.
Yeah.
Dude, we love skeleton wheels.
No, I hate them. I hate them with a passion.
This fight is easy. It's running around. It's not fun. It's just I get enjoyment out of it by just smashing skeletons, and that is it. I don't think it deserves to be this high up. But it's just kind of a checkpoint boss, really. It's just this like, here's the end of
it. It's a bonfire boss. It's like, hey, you're through the middle of the area.
It feels like one step above the congregation for me.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I have a feeling I know why it's so highly ranked because of this comment from also my Sinclair, who writes, my favorite boss is probably Skeleton Lords. Wow. For the flavor, how metal it is, and making a fight with adds and multiple enemies actually good. We at least got one very high ranking from mine.
Let me pull up Skeleton Lords and see what how the number breakdown is. Because right now, like I'm just looking at the average. So let me see.
Again, for me, I think it was pretty middle of the road. It was
Yeah, Skeleton Lords is all over. Got the most votes it got was 7 out of 10. But it got as low as a 2 and as high as a 9. So
that seems about right.
That's probably Mize, the 9.
Coming in at 24. Also one I'm not sure how I feel about, because it's gone differently for me the two times I've played this game. But the Giant Lord. So the one you fight in the memory.
Mm-hmm.
Just a big giant boss fight, but I don't know. Like I just don't have many opinions about this. It's just kind of like I need to get that item from him, and then I gotta go.
It feels like the fighting the last giant again, but he doesn't have to rip off his arm.
Yeah, he has a big old sword instead.
Yeah, it's fine. Also, that's one of the things I thought would be way lower and below stuff like Old Iron King.
46% of people gave this one a 6 out of 10.
Huh. So
it matches where it is right now.
That's about where it feels.
Yeah. Coming in next at 23 is Throne Watcher and Throne Defender. I remember fighting these guys and I was like,
these guys should be higher.
Higher.
These guys are underrated. They're actually a really cool dynamic duo. And I'm sure you guys already know this, but they can rez.
Yeah,
they can help each other out in a lot of different ways. Some players might not see him because, you know, hey, I just walk in here and smash these armored guys up. I get it. That's one approach you can take. But these ain't no dragon riders. Okay, these guys are cool.
It definitely seems like, and I'm not going to say it's bad, but it seems like an attempt at a Ornstein and Smo kind of dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
With definitely a different kind of arena. The thing that I feel separates itself is that It's the same boss arena for Nishandra and Aldia, mm-hmm. which is a big open area. Like in Dark Souls 1, when you fight Ornstein and Smough, like you have like those pillars and everything to kind of help break stuff up. But these guys, like, there's no way to get like to separate them from each other. Like, there's either you just have to outrun Throne Defender, right? Is Throne Defender the big guy? I can't remember. Anyway, so the big guy you have to just outrun, and then you just see him coming at you. Like, he just continues to come after you while you're fighting the other one, which makes it, I don't know, it wasn't a tough fight, but it definitely is one of the better multi-boss fights in the game.
Yeah, I feel like you make a good point with the comparison to Ornstein Smough. I feel like what hurts this one a little bit is the arena itself is pretty bland. It's just, yeah, a big floor space, whereas like the Ornstein Smough touchdown, like, at least is fairly dynamic with pillars being destroyed and stuff. Makes it a little bit more interesting, and it changes a little bit. And yeah, it gets used for a total of 3 times. It's like the fight itself is fun, and I like their dynamic. I just edit. They're not a hugely memorable boss for me, but yeah, this is kind of about where I'd put them.
Yeah. Agreed. Unmemorable is my biggest thing with them. I they're interesting. They're relatively cool design, but they're the precursor to the final boss, and that's kind of where they got, you know, pigeonholed for better or for worse.
Now they actually tied with our next boss, which I decided to. As I said, we didn't have as many ties as we did before, but I made some executive decisions to. Rank some higher than the others, so I decided to put Old Dragon Slayer above Throne Watcher and Throne Defender.
Ornstein?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was just you like Ornstein? Well, here he is in silver. Yeah.
You know, as much as I think this is a decent boss just because of what he does, this is the epitome of just like, hey, you guys liked Ornstein, right? Just take him and throw him in the game. There we go. Yeah. Done. Uh-huh.
Yeah. He has the exact same moves, too. He does the rushing stab. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's anything. And granted, like, if you just, like, the way I originally played Dark Souls 2 was, it was the first of the series I played. So I probably, going off of that, I probably would have ranked him about here, if not higher. Like, he's a cool design. But after just having played 1, this was, like, very close to the bottom for me.
Oh. Also, how insulting is it that he has a dragon right outside where he's hanging out, and he's just letting it
stay? I mean, he didn't originally have the dragon. The dragon got added later.
Oh, that is true. That was only in Scholar, huh?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Way to keep up with the lore, FromSoft.
Yeah, they're really they're on it. Trust me.
Making the Dragon Slayer not slay dragons on his doorstep, yeah. Jesus.
Well, he's an old Dragon Slayer.
Yeah, that's why he's a Dragon Rider. That's why you have Dragon Rider and Dragon Slayer at opposite ends of the...
He's so old that by the time they got to the third game, he was just armor.
Yeah. Can't wait till we get to talking about 3.
Mm-hmm.
But next, at 21, Ava the King's Pet. So the singular version of the big kitty cats. Did anyone try fighting this boss while it was invisible?
Absolutely. I think you should. Yeah. I think everybody should at least try it a few times while invisible before they go and do the zone mechanics.
Yeah. It is real tough.
How do you fight it while it's invisible? I never even
Very knew. Carefully.
Yeah. I mean, you can go through the like the boss fog like at the beginning, like but yeah,
oh,
I mean
without getting just, the priestess's eyes, eye or
yeah.
whatever it's
oh
called.
Yeah, yeah, you can go in there and you can see a faint outline,
yeah, but it's real tough because that boss has some real Dark Souls 2 hitboxes in my opinion.
It's got some punishing attacks, and you can, you know, if you want to be hardcore, you can go, you know, take him on while he's invisible, but
but
best to handle it with visibility. I don't know why he's so high though. I've never really liked that boss. I think it's one of the weakest DLC bosses. It's just like it's invisibility the fight. I get it. It's cool. It's a gimmick.
Remember Priscilla?
Maybe because it's a big tiger, it's true. And people like that.
It's true. Who doesn't like big tigers? Big kitty. Yeah.
Shout out Thundercats.
But speaking about the invisible part, this is like something I thought was really cool. Just a little side note was like when you get the priestess eyes, and if you go back to areas like the Shaded Woods, and those enemies that used to be invisible, you can just totally see them now. You can target them. They're regular enemies.
Ghosts?
Yeah. I noticed that.
It's almost
that
like
going
it's really well designed.
They know what they're doing.
Cracking the top 20, we have Nishandra.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't know. I think part of this is just like, it's just like the disappointing last boss, like end boss kind of thing. And I remember my first time playing this, and I'm like, okay, here I am. And then I'm like, who are you? What are you? You're her, that lady who is in the throne, but you look like this giant skeleton lady now. I'm very confused.
I'm not even gonna say anything about this boss.
I don't like the curse. I don't like the curse mechanic. I don't know. It's just, I think
she's got a very cool design. If there's any positive thing to say, yeah.
But I don't know. I don't like any of the final bosses. Like, I guess Throne Watcher and Throne Fender might be my favorite of them. But I feel like Nishandra's design is better than them. But I think that they're more fun to fight.
They kind of had a next to impossible task of living up to Gwyn from the first one, who is so memorable and so incredibly cool as the final boss.
I'm not going to argue this. I'm not going to get into this right now. We'll save it for another time.
But yeah, at least in my opinion, I can't speak for Mr. Tack, obviously. But yeah, I think Throne Watcher Defender is like, Nishandra is, and then Aldia's, combined, I guess they're you know, pretty climactic, especially back to back. But I don't know, that wasn't what I was looking for out of the end of this great game.
I think it was a fine fight. It just, like, iconic looking. The fight wasn't all that fun. I thought the curse was interesting, but a pain in the ass to deal with for sure.
Yeah.
But at least made the fight interesting. And that's kind of the only thing it has going for it.
This time I don't even think I bothered to like destroy the little like curse spheres. I just kept poking her. So I'm just like, I want this to be over. I want this to be done. Let's go. But yeah, I'd maybe put a little bit lower, but yeah, it's fine where it is. Yeah. It's just very meh. Coming at number 19, we have Scorpionus Nachka, who is made infinitely better if you summon Man Scorpion Tark, in my opinion.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? I like this. There's a gimmick to this fight. There's nothing wrong with this fight. It's a middle-of-the-road fight to me. I think it's cool how you can step on the bricks and stuff so that she can't get at you from underneath.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like Tremors.
Yeah, you know, it's not a very... not the best fight, it's not the worst fight there. Yeah. Okay.
If anything, I think it's like I would not have expected her to start using magic, and that kind of caught me off guard because she has some really strong magic spells, and if you're careful, she can obliterate you. But the only like the thing that puts this fight above like a lot of the other ones for me is Man Scorpion Tark and the lore. That's kind of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, agreed. That's the only thing that notches it above middle of the road.
Yeah, otherwise it's basically just Quelaag.
Nope. Yeah.
Coming at number 18, but this one actually tied with Nachka, is Flexile Sentry. I think this fight has really cool design. Fighting two enemies essentially on one body that attack like very differently. And also, like, the arena has something that I think, I don't know if Dan would ever point it out, but like it's something that a lot of people aren't going to notice unless you fight them longer. But that arena will fill up with water and slow your movement the longer you stay there and fight, which I think is pretty cool.
And then later on, they actually just put them in water.
Yeah.
They actually just throw some in water with you. It's like, hey, remember this? Wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
You want to do it again? Of course you do.
I think I was playing with Squid. And I had him summoned, or he summoned me, and I saw this attack I'd never seen before when they like picked him up and were like doing the Baraka like spin like spinning his body like on like over their heads. And I got a good laugh out of that. But yeah, I think these guys are okay. Like I said, I like their design. I think they're cool. This is the first time I noticed they were like kind of reptilian, which was pretty cool.
Hmm.
I like this boss a lot, I gotta say. I think they should be maybe slightly higher. I know there are a lot of really good bosses in Dark Souls 2, but and we'll get into it obviously in a later segment with our loves and hates, but No Man's Wharf was such a surprise. I love this part of the game for me. It just, something about it is so unique and so cool. And this freakish body back to body sword dancer is a real highlight of the game for me. So I was a big fan.
Yeah.
I like the lore around them too, as just being ferrymen for people with the curse and just being used by Vendrick and Aldia to dispose of, hollowing people to bring them to the Lost Bastille as the prison for them to just kind of waste away, and the fight's fun itself. Like,
bring the ship to the dock, uh-huh.
And, yeah.
But again, that's a discussion for another time. But
yeah,
I found out that you can actually shoot an arrow at the bell.
Huh?
Yeah.
Wait, really?
You can. So you can skip a quarter of the zone or so that way.
Yeah. Which I thought was super
amazing.
Cool.
There's all kinds of really cool.
Yeah.
Things like that in D2 that people don't notice when they're too busy complaining that it was made by the B team.
Yeah.
Those freaky alien things in No Man's Wharf. Again, we'll get to it, but man, I love that. Those things are so unsettling.
That is, all right. Coming in at number, let me line my eyes up. 17. We have one that I think is way too high. Guardian Dragon.
Really?
I feel like this is way too high. It's cool. Like, I like a dragon. I mean, you fight a bunch of them later on. I just think this fight is way too easy. It's just.
Well, this one, I think, you know, in defense of it, and I don't like the fight, by the way, in defense of it, it's just supposed to sort of be like, you get to the end of that, the mansion, and you're like, whoa, it's a freaking dragon. Like, that's it. The fight itself doesn't really matter. You're like, man, what's Aldia keeping in here? Oh, it's a freaking dragon. I mean, that's the... Yeah. That's the reveal, the big revelation.
Yeah, and it proceeded to take it out in 30 seconds.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, the only thing that keeps me from fighting is when it flies up in the air, and then like it's just like, okay, this is gonna take.
Oh,
like,
I'm happy when it's in
seconds.
The air.
I mean, it's good that you kill it in 30 seconds, right? Because otherwise, you'd have to walk through that mansion again, and there's trolls in there.
But yeah, not much to say about Guardian Dragon. I don't know.
It's cool that you fight him in a bird cage. I thought that was a cool aesthetic, but again, that's kind of the shock value of like you get through this insane laboratory and there it is. This is the pet for Aldia. Like, oh my God, Aldia, what could this thing ever be? And then we discussed. Yeah. So,
going at number 16. I don't know how I feel about this ranking. Blue Smelter Demon.
What? What?
Yeah, like I don't. It's my first time fighting him. It took me 2 attempts, I think. And I am one. I didn't get super frustrated with the Iron Passage like some other people did. I get how frustrating it could be. I died maybe 3 times trying to get through it, but I just kind of ran through it afterwards. Wow.
The corridor leading to him is far worse than he is.
Both gave me a lot of trouble. This was maybe I was slightly underleveled at the time or something, but Blue Smelter Demon gave me a ton of trouble.
He's a big boy.
His run up and him himself, just I don't know why he kept getting me over and over and over. This was my toughest boss of the game. But I'm proud to say I beat him, and I didn't summon someone for it. I beat him straight up.
I think Blue Smelter Demon is better than Red Smelter Demon as far as the fight goes, but he's held back by the fact that he's just a blue reskin, similarly to the Abyss Demon, Demon Fire Sage.
Like, yeah.
It's kind of just the same fight again, albeit slightly harder.
It's pretty much like just like that. His attack timings are a lot different.
Right.
And like his combos are, but I think that's the only thing that kind of separates him from the reskins of like the demons in DS1.
Yeah, he's at least a more challenging fight.
Yeah.
To me.
But yeah, it's just not much there. Best of the optional DLC bosses, so no, there you go. Congrats, Blue Smelter.
You did it.
You did it.
Your path sucks.
Number 15. Yeah. A boss I would assume is very divisive among people. Executioner's Chariot. I think this is one of the better, puzzle bosses in the series, honestly. The way it's executed.
Did you know you don't have to beat the fight using the mechanics you're supposed to?
I do, because I stumbled into it.
That's what happened with Bob.
Yep. I forgot that there were the doors you had to close. Because I beat the game when it initially came out, so it was just not in my head. And I this thing just kept circling, and I was like, what do I have to do here? I can't figure it out. And then I just kept hitting it with arrows as it was zooming around. God. And then it eventually stopped.
Yes.
And he hung out. I hit him with one more arrow. He fell into a pit. The last third of his health bar disappeared, and I won. It was so anticlimactic, but I was like, I feel like I should have done this differently. And I turned the camera slightly, and I saw one of the levers, and I went, oh, yeah.
That's just how I imagine your character doing that. Just not waiting there for days, just shooting arrows.
Although I'm supposed to do this.
I like the boss. Like it's a super cool design. I like that a lot. But I'm sad I didn't fight it the right way, because I just didn't see it.
Bob, there is no right way.
They tell you how to do it in the cinematic. Did you not watch the cinematic?
Yeah.
I might have skipped it.
I'm just joking. I'm just joking.
Yeah, it's a fun fight. I like the design of like the pressure of like my brought up with the skeleton lords in like multi enemy arena fight. I feel like this is a cool and more challenging design than the skeleton lords fight. And like, even though I hate the skeleton wheels or the bone wheels, I at least thought they were more manageable in that fight as opposed to Dark Souls 1. But I feel like the Executioner's Chariot has novelty going for it. And yeah, like, the two-stage fight design based on how able you are to get to the mechanic, or if you, like with Bob, just stumble face first into victory. It's great. Or get great. Punted by their feet when you have them down to the E in their health bar for executioners, and then get hit in the back of the head and then have to do it again.
Brutal.
Still a fun fight, though.
Yeah. Coming in at number 14, another divisive one, is King Vendrick. I'm curious to see what you guys have to say about this.
Boring.
Yeah. He can two-shot you.
Yeah, I mean...
Hey, that's it. That's it. That's the whole fight. Yeah. That's the whole tweet. I think we're done with him. He can two-shot you.
Cool to fight the king. That's about it.
This has a massive health bar, and it's just long fight.
It's a super long fight. I feel like it's compared to something like Gwyn as like a final fight from the first one. I feel like Vendrick is more significant to me as an end game boss, and more interesting on why he is where he is and what's happened to him. And it's way more tragic.
Yeah, for sure.
But the fight itself, and especially upon refighting him, it's not a very fun fight. But it's, at least to me, like, more so influenced by its lore impact and the thing surrounding him than the fight itself.
That's just what I was going to say. To quote a YouTuber I watched, this is a lore fodder fight. Yeah. It's just this is just all here for the lore.
Yeah, the tragedy of seeing him like roam around that courtyard is amazing, but then the actual fight is just kind of nothing. So,
did anyone try to engage with him the first time he played the game, like immediately, like instead of just getting the ring and running out?
I hit him a couple times, but he didn't do nothing, so I ran out.
No, I mean, attack him.
Nah, he's too cool. He's the king. He's chill.
Yeah, but even if you hit him once, he doesn't just immediately aggro. You have to like hit him several times.
I remember being terrified the first time saw him. Yeah. And was like, I didn't even know I had to go in there to get the ring initially. I was just there like watching him for a little bit and he didn't attack. And then I saw the glow and I was like, oh.
But, yeah, I think I equipped a homeward bone. I went in there. I hit him once. He didn't do anything. I said, okay, he's not going to mess with me. And I just walked out.
But yeah, a big lore fight, I feel like. And very similar to Ancient Dragon in a way, I feel like. Better than Ancient Dragon, but just in a way that he just, like, it's a, like, you don't need to fight him. He's just got a big tanky health bar. He can kill you in one or two hits if you're not careful, just like Ancient Dragon can. And it just feels like a lore boss, but yeah.
How else are you going to get your magic crowns that don't have you lose health when you die?
Talk to magical crowns.
Yeah.
I like that crown toward the end game.
Oh, yeah.
If only you got it earlier.
Yeah.
And it doesn't carry over in New Game Plus either.
It's like seeing Yoshi on top of the Mario 64 castle. If you've gotten to that point, you've beaten the entire game. Who cares about extra lives?
But
it's the journey, you know.
Oh, for sure.
We're nearing the top 10. At number 13, we have Elena, Squalid Queen from Sanctum City DLC.
Really?
Yeah. So this is a fight that can go multiple ways, in my opinion. Like, depending on who she summons, this fight can be pretty easy or a big pain in the ass.
It's true.
When I finally beat her this playthrough, she summoned the pigs, which was very nice because I did not have to worry.
Who cares about the pigs? You know, the pigs and skeletons, nobody cares. But when Vel'Stag comes out, then Vel'Stag, you gotta worry about it.
It's just but yeah, that's
he's gonna ring your bell.
Yeah, it's not a good time. But
anyway, I don't think this fight's very interesting, though, to be honest with you. It's just like,
no,
hey, remember that boss? Hey, he's back. Or maybe not. That's the fight.
Yeah. Remember those pigs that you tried to fight earlier in the game and they just wrecked your asshole?
Yeah, like, we just took some random garbage from town and maybe some skeletons. And Vel'Stag. Why not? Whatever.
Yeah.
Have fun. Anyway, the cool dragon is behind her. Don't worry about it. She's just here. Yeah. Peace.
She came up of a 6.85 average. To put that in perspective, we're at 13 out of 41 bosses, and we have not hit an average of 7.
No one's gotten a C yet.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Oh, yeah.
We can move on to 12. Now, I'm one of these I'm very upset by. I think should have gotten a lot higher. These are two Lord Soul bosses that tied. So I'll start with the lesser one, in my opinion, which is the Duke's Dear Freya.
We all love the Duke's Dear Freya, don't we?
Yeah.
He's fun. He's a spider.
Yeah. I don't
know. You can take one of the faces out to make the fight easier.
Yeah. Which the neat thing is, it's like, if you're not doing enough damage, you can like knock the heads off, because I think it's about the amount of hits that you deal to it, not the damage. I remember the first time I played it, and I didn't have my DPS very high when I fought him, and I knocked the heads off, and I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do now? And I couldn't do any damage to it.
Try using fire. It's really cool. The spider is afraid of fire.
Oh, just carrying around a torch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The little babies.
Yeah, and that's what I did this playthrough. That made it a whole lot easier.
The big guy doesn't care. He's a spider with a laser. It's the worst nightmare. It's a spider with a laser beam. Like, it doesn't get much dillier than that.
Double-headed spider with laser beam.
Yeah.
Spider with friggin' laser beams on their heads. Maybe I'm a sucker for symmetrical boss designs, but yeah, I liked Freya's look a lot, just like Flexile Sentry. Like, turning around and seeing a second spider face, very cool. The whole aesthetic of that zone... Very cool. The spider webs everywhere, like literally hopping from web to web to get down to his chamber. I liked it. The boss fight is really good.
Yeah, it's a great fight. I think it's definitely tied with what you're next about to say is like it. I can totally see it. They're both up there for me as really good fights.
Well, this one I feel like is vastly superior, but that's just my opinion.
Kick this man.
I like this fight a lot.
It's a good fight.
It is a good fight, and I'm sure you all know about the gimmick with this one.
The lighting up the arena.
Yeah.
So
he can't use his "I'm gonna go in the darkness and ruin your lock on." Of course, if you don't lock on, no problem anyway, right?
This one was the most interesting one to fight in New Game Plus. Because when you get it down to, when you knock away, a third of its health bar, all of a sudden, these two really strong pyromancers come into the boss arena and start fighting you, too.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I never did the New Game Plus.
Yeah, that's why I had to swap from using my Vendrick's, greatsword to going back to my katanas, because I had to track down those guys and take them out first before going back to the Lost Center, because they... were just throwing fireballs at me and exploding me, and it was just not a good time. But yeah, I like this fight a lot. I think I probably it averaged a 7. I probably had it around an 8. I might have given it a 9. I'm not sure.
Yeah, it's one of the best roughly equal to your size fights.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm always a sucker for those. I mean, that's why. That, among many other things, why Artorias was my number one in our previous Dark Souls 1 discussion of these. I love when someone is your same size and it just feels like a mano a mano, clash of the fates kind of thing.
I got a feeling there's a boss coming up like that. Got a real good feeling.
Now, the next fight or next boss that we have, I don't think should be anywhere near. It cracked the top 10. It tied with another one, but I had to put it at number 10 because I don't think it deserves to be this high. I don't know if anyone thinks that there was a boss missing that should be a lot lower.
Oh, I know what it is.
You want to take a shot?
Is the Demon of Song?
Yes. I don't know. Demon of Song, number 10.
Yes. I like it. I like it. I like the way that the Demon of Song, I mean, it's not a very memorable fight itself, but it's a weird looking boss, and it's weaved into the zone immaculately, I believe. Even though I hate that zone. And we're not going to talk about Shrine of Amana ever. But I think the way that they sort of build him up by the singing and everything is fantastic.
It's true.
I get it.
Can I just piggyback off that real quick? One comment from Daniel Dwiggins, and I know we're not talking about Shrine of Amana, but he just had to say, quote, "I also just want to say the Shrine of Amana is the worst area I've ever played in a video game, and it makes me want to get crushed by the backside of an ogre." Thank you, Daniel, for writing in.
They're truly sick. I can't believe they made that zone even harder with Scholar.
Yeah.
Truly some demented minds over there.
I like
the Shrine of Amana. Neuroflare actually wrote in and said, "Demon of Song is my favorite just because it's so effing weird. It wasn't really hard, but it was cool." I can get behind that. Yeah.
It's unique. It's one of the most unique bosses in the game, I think.
You got 2 10s.
Wow. Can we
that was
see
definitely
who
like
those
an 8
are?
Or 9 for me.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was just in its conceit alone, it's grotesque. Like it's not quite body horror necessarily, but it's just got this otherworldly warped design that I'm all about, which is part of what speaks to me about something like what Bloodborne is, why it speaks to me so well. It's just like its design, but it to me embodies the twisted version of a grim fairy tale.
Yeah. Well, when you get to lore of it, luring like,
yeah,
luring things in with song just to like eat them. It's just like, yeah, that it sounds like a Grimm's Tale.
Yeah, absolutely.
Seriously.
So it tied with Smelter Demon, which I decided to put at number 9. OG Smelter Demon. I like this fight.
It's fine.
But it kind of, like, I don't know. It's a one of my, you know, probably my favorite of the like mid level bosses. Also, you good don't fight. Have to fight him. You can't go around him. But
good fight. Like
I don't think it's too easy. It's one of those fights where you have to be ultra aggressive. Like if you take too long, you know, he'll just keep buffing himself. I think he has like that flame shield where like he'll just do fire damage to you, if I'm mistaken.
Yeah, he's a big guy.
Yeah. Plus, like, for such a large enemy in such a small arena you fight him in, I think that's also pretty cool.
I like that part of it a lot. The small arena, the fact that it's so perfectly placed in Iron Keep. Like, he's almost a relief when you get through a lot of those annoying enemies in Iron Keep, and then you finally get to him.
Yeah.
And he feels super appropriate for that moment.
Those 250 alone knights.
I was going to say, he's the best part of that area and fighting all those alone knights.
You're almost grateful fight. That there's only one of them.
You know? Yeah, totally.
And then you get a special surprise if you come back.
We're going to get to it because might be my number one, honestly. But
before we get there, at number 8, we have Vel'Stat, the Royal Aegis.
I don't know how this guy plays so high. I mean, I like this fight, but it ain't top 10.
This got a lot of nines. Yeah. It got like 5 nines, but it got a 10, and it also got a 1. So,
wow.
It's all over the place.
I mean, he's a cool design. The fight is good, but it's just kind of uninspired, you know?
For his character in the lore, I expected a lot more. Like, for like someone who bested Rame, aka Fume Knight, I was like, oh, this guy's going to be...
Nobody best the Fume Knight. Nobody.
Yeah.
It's all lies.
That's the only thing that I could imagine. It's just because this guy is a pushover.
I mean,
he's tougher. He's one of those summoned by Ilana.
He's one of those things where the zone is the boss, and he's just kind of there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Getting through those undead crypt and those grave areas with the bells.
Bells and ghosts.
The ghosts are brutal.
It's a hard. Now,
those
area,
ghosts will kill you way faster than Vel'Stat will.
Oh yeah.
But I honestly had less of a struggle there than I did in some spots of the old Iron Keep.
Mm. I
remember when
we'll
I killed.
I liked Iron Keep a lot.
After I killed Vel'Stat, you know, the fog doors obviously come down, and on the other side that I just ran through to fight him. Was like a dragon rider and two knights, and like there are all these enemies that gave me way more trouble than Vel'Stat did. So that was like, you know, a nice cherry on top of the cake. It was like just a nice punch in the gut after I beat the boss.
That's another thing that frustrates me. It's like they have dragon riders. This is going back to our dragon rider frustrations, but me saying like they didn't need to put a boss health bar on him. They have a dragon rider later in the game without a health bar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they could have just gated that in a different way without it being a boss, you know?
Yeah.
This fight would have been better if he wasn't, like, titled and then had the two dragon riders chilling outside, like, join the fight. That would have been a way more interesting fight.
I get it. I get it. But... at least he's above Demon of Song, I guess. I don't like Demon of Song that much.
Only because you made him.
Yeah. let's see. At number 7, and we're now in the 8 average range. We're with 8.21. We have Sin, the Slumbering Dragon.
Sin was so cool. I could kind of get behind this.
I had so much trouble with Sin the first time I fought him. And I think he took me 2 tries this time. And I didn't enjoy it as much as I had before.
But it's the best dragon fight in the game. Yes, yeah. I'd get behind that.
I would say so. Chopping off its tail felt very Dark Souls 1. Yeah. even
Were
though
you hoping
I don't
to get a Dragon King Great Axe?
I was hoping I could relive my life in Dark Souls 1. I liked him. I think he's a very cool design. He did the Dark Souls 1 thing again of like intimidating the player by coming down very early in what's that area from Crown of the Sunken King, whatever that area is called.
Sanctum
he shows
City.
Up Sanctum City, thank you. Yeah, I enjoyed him overall. I could kind of see top 10.
Yeah, you know, dragons. We love dragons.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I think that also gives him a plus one in my book. I'm just a sucker for a good dragon fight.
You are a knight chasing dragons.
That's just my whole thing.
I know. I didn't finish. I got like 3/4 of the way through, and I think I stopped like right before Alana and Sin. So I never fought these two, so I don't have much to say on it, but I will have more to say later on, just on the areas leading up to it, as very high.
Ooh. All right. At number 6, with an average of 8.26, we have The Pursuer.
Yeah!
All right.
Even higher.
I could honestly make the case for it being higher or lower. Pursuer is a very fun concept that I think they fleshed out quite a bit with Scholar. Much more interesting when he actually pursues you.
Yeah. I think his numbers definitely go up or down depending on if you engage with him at all after the real boss fight.
Oh, I fought him every chance I could.
I pursued him.
I'm not going to hide that.
Yeah.
I loved
He was super intimidating in my first playthrough. Right? But after that, it's like, now after a point, it's just like, wow, I'm going to get a ton of free souls from this guy. Come here, garbage bag.
Oh, yeah. I was talking to Squid about it when he was struggling with Pursuer. And I was like, dude, just keep going right. Go to his left side. You'll never get hit.
It's true. It's actually true. But he's very intimidating, if you don't know that.
Oh, yeah.
He'll kick
for
your
sure.
Butt.
And then you figure it out. You're like, I'll never get hit by this guy again.
Especially when he flies in originally and he gets dropped off by an eagle or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then he just, like, every other appearance, he just...
got eye visor. He's like, meow, meow.
Oh, he's so cool. He's like a Gundam.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, yeah.
He escaped Armored Core.
I love this guy. I love everything about the Pursuer. I love the fact that, you know, if you have Scholar, he really does follow you. Like, you go back to that Smelter Demon location, and he just warps through the floor, and he's just like, bring it on. Let's go one more time.
Remember me?
And he does that like 4 or 5 times throughout the game. I was hoping it would show up everywhere. I wanted him to be, like, you know, right up until the final boss, I wanted him to show up in the room before it. I'm a huge fan of his design. I'm a huge fan of fighting him. I used his sword for a while, the Pursuer Ultra Sword or Ultra Great Sword, I think it's called.
Mm-hmm.
I loved him. I put him at number 1 personally, and I totally get why he's this high.
Absolutely.
I'll have to post that clip again of where I summoned Squid in. I summoned Squid in for the fight, and I was just like, Squid, distract him, and then just obliterated him with the ballistas, and that was so fun.
After 5 misses, just almost hitting Squid, just no, and then so finally fun. Getting it. It was a funny
I came
video.
Really close to doing like, and that would be really fun for me to try to nail on my own. Was like I would try to position him, then like parry him, stun him, and then shoot the ballistas off at him. And I got like 1 shot with that, but that was just real tough to get that timing set because you have to be like really quick.
I will throw this in because it's a comment from the community from My Sinclair one more time. Special nod to Pursuer. Really hard for me the first time, but then I got so good at parrying him that every time they showed up, I loved the opportunity to smash their face in again.
100%.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
So number 5 with a score of 8.4, we have the Looking Glass Knight.
The Mirror Knight.
Yeah.
As he was originally called.
Mm-hmm.
I can't believe this guy's number, what is this, four?
Five.
This guy's freaking amazing. Like, from, from design to implementation, you know, From Software loves to have their old monk style boss where other players can participate in the battle via invasion, and it's super cool to go put your mark down and get summoned in through the shield.
Yeah, it's probably top three for me.
And I noticed, like, the dread of, like, waiting. I was like, all right, like, I was so close to beating him. And I'm like, he's about to summon someone in. And I'm, like, taking more hits at him. I'm like, okay, please just let this be an NPC. Please just let this be an NPC.
And if it's the NPC, you know, he's not that hard, but he's still very iconic, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Rain pouring down, lightning in the distance. Oh, can you imagine if they would have had the original lighting in the game with that fight? It would have been insane. But anyway, it still looks amazing.
It looks
great. Yeah.
I like it a lot.
I agree.
Not like it. The only thing that holds it back at all, and this is just because I really like the lore in the game, and I always consider it with the bosses, it's just that he is just a like challenge to reach Vendrick. As far as I'm aware, he's just like a knight, and I like it when there's a little
bit more. He's the Looking Glass knight. All right.
Yeah, yeah. He don't.
He's
need
got
it.
A he's got a dinner plate that he summons people in on. Okay.
Yeah.
It's very chonky.
Yeah. No, this I think far beyond what puts this boss fight like way up there for me. It's just the arena, the atmosphere of the fight, and definitely like that summon aspect of it. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, just running down that hallway, you know, with it's just incredible getting out there. And you're like, wow, it's raining out. I haven't been outside in how long? I've been in this freaking castle.
Yeah, yeah, it's iconic for sure. It's so good. I love it.
Yeah, he's really good. He looks so intimidating too.
Yeah, he looks like sort of like gladiatorial armor from back in the day, you know. I that one dude in Gladiator, the tiger guy.
Yeah,
with the yeah, reminds me
yeah,
of
that, yeah,
absolutely.
Those always like creep me out, and his face definitely like creeps me out. There's like metal like helmets. I'm not, but yeah, that definitely.
Fun little sides anecdote for me on this fight is I was streaming when I was fighting it, and Squid was watching, chilling with me, and I had someone show up in the stream right as I was just starting to explore this path, totally forgetting the mechanic of it, and he was just watching this guy, Fluffer111. He was chatting with me like, oh, this area is so cool, and then I get into the fight with the Looking Glass Knight, and then as I defeated on my first attempt, I get a comment from him in the chat. Damn, I was really hoping I'd get summoned for this fight because he was trying to essentially, like, quote unquote, stream snipe me.
I mean, yeah. I mean, we kind of have to these days. You kind of have to, like, see where people are if you want to get sucked into that fight.
Oh, some for of
the
fights,
you know, they don't work after play people, like, you know, after the player base dips because there's no way around. But, like, generally, I'll hang out in that area. I love that little candle area. It's like, yep, my symbol's down, boys. Let's do it.
Yeah, it was a unique situation that I wish like he actually had invaded, because that would have been a fun story even more. But just having that, like, someone watching me like, I'm gonna go fuck up your day.
You know? Yeah. They love cool. those fights. They're in every game.
All right.
I think what in three
not
it would
game,
be.
But... Well, in three they have it in the DLC.
Yeah, which I.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I feel about that one.
Otherwise, you get. I mean, actually, I think in that one, it's actually getting another player is actually sometimes easier. The NPCs that one dude summons is like nuts.
Yeah, I remember.
All right.
It's almost like they were trying to compensate. They're like, oh, you think the Mirror Knight was easy with an NPC? Well, we're going to get you some real NPCs this time.
That is true. That's totally true. That NPC sucks with that. But I love that weapon. I love getting that weapon.
Yeah.
Eventually.
Yeah.
All right, coming at number four with a 8.64, we have Dark Lurker.
Dark Lurker.
Really?
Yeah.
I know everyone loves this because, like, it's a cool looking boss. It's very stylish, and you got the double up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's at the end of the day, this boss never really impressed me, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It was cool when it was like the secret boss in the core game, but after the DLC came by, it was like, yeah, whatever. Who cares about that?
Yeah. It was my first time fighting it, and I had just heard like that it was very difficult to get to and also to fight. And I think it took me three attempts or so, but I enjoyed it. Like, I thought, like, I had a lot of moments where I was just
almost just getting, like, I was dodging one of them, and then, like, as I was dodging him, I was trying to drink Estus, and then the other one was hitting me.
Yeah, I saw that video.
I like this fight a lot.
I mean, yeah, they can F you up. It's a cool fight. I just don't know if it's top five.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Dan. I enjoyed it. Great design, like the dark angel type look. Not the TV show, but you know what I mean. Super cool. The run up to the fight, especially if you die a couple times, can get pretty frustrating because you have to waste what's the item? The
humanity. Humanist.
Yeah, or, you have to wait.
Effigy.
Human effigy.
Yeah, human effigy. There you go. I was gonna call it humanity too. Yeah, you have to waste one every time you travel into there, whether you've
But come on, if you know how to get to Dark Lurker, you know, if you've done the legwork to actually unlock that guy, you don't care about an effigy. You don't care about 20 effigies.
True.
you're a little bit, you know, this isn't Johnny Dark Souls on his first playthrough isn't gonna stumble into this guy.
Yeah, yeah, very true. But yeah, super cool boss. I probably wouldn't have put him top five, but I get it. Yeah.
No. We're down to the top three.
Good God. What a long journey it's been, gentlemen. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being here.
Pleasure's ours.
Now, I honestly, my thoughts have changed on what my top one is for this, but Beauty voted pretty far and away for number one. But before we get to that, number three, we have Fume Knight.
Fume Knight is a legendary battle. One of the best in the entire series, I think. I will go 100%. On the record saying that. Such a dynamic villain with tons of different abilities and stuff to mess you up. All kinds of change-ups. It's no just like, hey, I'm a big guy who swings a big dumb thing. It's like, what is he going to do? It's going to hurt. He's got all kinds of range. He's got all kinds of moves. Oh, what a fight. What a battle. Forget fight. Yeah. That's a battle. That's a war. You wage war down there in the keep. Okay?
Now, I'll tell you what. Someone sabotaged Fume Knight.
Elaborate, please.
Go on.
And I just noticed this now. Fume Knight got 7 votes for 10 out of 10. I got 4 votes for 9 out of 10. And I got 3 votes for 8 out of 10. He got 1-1.
Huh.
Oh,
so that's just a salty. Troll. That's bullshit. Yeah. That's a troll.
That's
which brought the average down. And now I'm very tempted to remove that vote and just see what his number.
Probably be a 2 or 1.
I mean, someone probably couldn't beat him. Got really salty at his range.
Yeah,
I think
and threw in a 1. That's what it seems like
what
to me.
I enjoy that fight so much is the path to him isn't hell. It isn't a tedious slog to get to him.
Oh no, like, there's a bonfire relatively close also.
Right next to him. Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah. It's like you can get that bonfire. Whereas like with something like the Blue Smelter Demon, that fight is solid for me because the path is just it's similarly to like with our comment our section on the bosses with the four kings last time. That fight is soured for me because of the path I had to take over and over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, you're going to burn a couple Estus just to get to them, and they're a difficult enough boss on their own that...
Or the items with the curse and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, it's like bonfire, wrap around a corner, boss fight.
Yeah, the nice, challenge clean, is the boss.
Exactly. Yeah, they got the bonfire there because they know...
Yeah.
You probably ain't going to beat them in one.
You're going to have a time here. Yeah.
I think this is probably the boss in the whole trilogy and Bloodborne that took me the most attempts. I beat Orphan Akkaz faster than I figured out Fume Knight.
Really?
My first, yeah.
No, like Fumi was probably, he could have been, is he the hardest boss at the time? Maybe, but there's no way he's harder than Orphan.
Well, that's I think I was able to learn Orphan, like my tactics for Orphan. Like I felt like I was improving every time I fought Orphan. The first time I fought and beat Fume Knight, I don't remember winning. All I remember is me dying over and over again, and then eventually I got the Sir alone, and I don't remember the moment of victory. That's how that fight was for me. I only remember like losing and getting obliterated.
We're gonna talk about that fight real soon.
Yeah. Oh yeah,
either 2 or 1. I'm very curious.
And even when I went to fight him this time, I was like, I don't know how I'm supposed to beat him. I've done it before, but I don't know what the tactic is. But I mean, I eventually did it, and I still love the fight a lot. I'm very upset that someone threw a one at him, because otherwise he would have gone up to second place. Speaking of second place, we have...
I think somebody rigged the deck by putting that one in there. There's no way he's a one. I don't care like what scale you're using. No. Maybe you could think he's a five, like if you were insane, but
but
like a one? That's a spite one.
That's a spite,
But we got Burnt Ivory King.
I'm actually shocked that this one is so high. Really. I think Ellingham Lois is really awesome, but I don't think any of the bosses there stand out. This fight's unique. Yeah. And I do like it. I do like how you go around collecting the knights to beat them. But like the fight itself, I don't know. I don't love it. It's like it could be top 10, top 2. Yeah. I don't think so.
It's a lot of it for me is the arena. Dropping in there is the best moment in. It's probably the best moment in Dark Souls 2 for me is dropping into the old chaos.
The better chaos close to you there. you see?
Oh no, what have I done?
He's right all along.
But yeah, I mean, like I think he's an interesting fight. I think it's cool how you can approach it different ways depending on how many Lois knights you bring in, and it's cool how they sacrifice themselves. And but yeah, I can see like him not being a top two or three fight, like just on the fight itself. I think definitely the arena and in the moments of that fight bring it up for me.
I think I definitely had it top. I think I did have it top three. I really enjoyed this one. And yes, I think it is a lot to do with, Ilium Lois, like the entire area is a build up to just this one fight of you going around rescuing all the knights. And yeah, maybe it's a little bit gimmicky, but it felt so monumental at the end of it. You were almost like going out recruiting all these people, and by the end of the fight it felt like the last fight in Braveheart or something, like you had finally had all your men and all of their enemies, and you finally had a clashing of steel, and it was this big monumental thing. I really enjoyed it, and I think the arena helps a lot. I think the entire set dressing around that helps a lot. I think his design is pretty cool, maybe not Fume Knight cool, but pretty dang cool himself. I had him quite high up here.
Sorry to backtrack very quickly to Fume Knight. I'm not gonna call it the individual, but I found the comment that I think it goes to what that one was. So I found the comment at the end of
We got some clarification.
Oh, we gotta hear this.
Yeah,
he beat me.
Fume Knight. Fume Knight is one of the most poorly executed bosses I've ever fought. It's needlessly difficult to avoid any of their attacks, and it's highly resistant to everything but physical. In addition to that, if you don't know what is coming, you'll likely end up with one of the Ashen Idols still standing to heal it as well.
You can't cheese him real hard. Wow. What a terrible thing about a boss. Jeez. You might actually have to fight one.
Yeah,
you gotta score that puppy a one and move on. We need more covetous demons.
Did fight him with the heals?
No.
I generally fight him with one heal up, with one of those things. Because by the time I get down there, I used all my shards. You know, it's not like a purposeful thing. It's just like, I don't care. It's like, whatever. It makes the fight even spicier, which is okay. You know, put a little pepper kick on there. You know?
Here we go. Sorry, I just wanted to get that in there.
But, you're good. That's funny.
We do have Burnt Ivory King comments as well.
Nice.
And this is a in favor of Burnt Ivory King. Burnt Ivory King is a mechanically fascinating boss. While having a mob fight within the boss fight is not new, especially for the gank fest that is Dark Souls 2, having the ability to collect your own mob in the level to fight with you is. The Lois Knights you search for and rescue throughout the level have a function beyond being a substitution for summons. Your knights have the additional role closing the portals your enemies pour through. The more knights you collect, the more portals you close. Finding every knight even means you have one remaining as backup for when the Ivory King appears. The Burnt Ivory King himself is a decent challenge, and the visuals of the area are fantastic, elevating the fight to even greater heights. That's pretty much how I feel about it. He's a decent challenge, and it's elevated by the things that we mentioned before.
Yeah, totally agree. I think it's very well said.
Yeah. But there can only be one number one. And this one was far and above. With a 9.4 average.
Damn.
We have
and somehow it's Afflicted, Grave Robber, Ancient Soldier Varg, and Sarah the Old Explorer. Oh my god, somehow. How are they on there again?
46% of voters gave this a 10 out of 10. 46% gave it a 9 out of 10. One person gave it an 8.
That's hard to argue. I mean...
It is an immaculately crafted fight. Great scenery. Great encounter. Go on.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah.
I don't want to take the stage on this one.
You talk about that mano a mano feeling that some of these boss fights get. This is that to 110%. It's that perfected.
This is a duel for the ages between two kings, right?
Yeah.
He is incredibly dangerous, and so are you, and it's back and forth. Who's going to get the strikes in? This boss is fantastic. And of course, there's also some secrets to this boss, like there is to most Dark Souls 2. If you know what happens if you can beat him without getting hit?
No.
YouTube actually,
he kills himself.
Oh,
he
is does, that where he yes.
He yeah. does a seppuku. Yeah.
Yep. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah, because he's so dishonored.
He is he is like the epitome of the classy 1v1 From Software action RPG battle. Like, you know, he's like the Gurman or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an immaculately crafted fight that requires all, you know, learning on your part and execution on your part, and he is a worthy adversary. Now let's not talk about the run up to him ever.
We
don't like to talk about that part.
So I think I'm the one who dropped it down to an 8. The fight itself is phenomenal. I think it's an exceptionally good fight. I just wish, similarly to the Fume Knight, it wasn't so stupid getting to him. I thought that it's such a tedious chore in dealing with, like, I've tried to just beeline through. It's damn near impossible.
Because you can't do it. You got to really, you'll learn the right roll points. You got to learn the right points to hit the roll button so that you don't get shot or blown up.
Plus those fucking lizards, like fire lizards. Yeah, the lizards and the archers.
Because I can deal with the Alone Knights by themselves just fine. Like them coming at you with their katanas, like they're nimble, and I like that dynamic of them. But when like you have them chasing you, plus three archers at the end of a lane, plus all these damn lizards, and it takes like 5 minutes to get past all of them. If you're just running through it, it is so tedious. And that's one of the, like, I loved when I got to the fight, I loved engaging with that fight. And I thought it was fair. That really holds it back to me as like the worst bonfire placement. That really hindered the wanting to fight that boss.
Also, I do want to shout out another community comment from Amos Dragon. Special mention to my favorite boss in the game, Sir Alone. I might not have beaten the boss without getting hit, but I came really close and did it all with my trusty Kestis Power Stance. That boss was so cool. A shame the run to the boss is as much of a pain as it is. At least it's no Dark Lurker. Very well said, Amos Dragon. I think that's a little combination of all the critiques of it and what makes it so great.
It is a really great fight. I can't imagine not liking that fight. It's superb in every way.
Yeah, that fight alone is a 10.
Yeah,
I've made this comparison before to like other fights in the series. Like it has like a Artorias like feel, just like the grand scale within that world. Like you're fighting this, like you've seen the name alone. Like you've seen the name alone since you were in the Iron Keep. Like these are the Alone Knights. Like, well, what is Alone? Mm-hmm. Oh, well, guess what? This is what those guys that like fucked you up so much in Iron Keep. This is what they're named after. Like, this is that guy.
This is their leader.
Yeah. This is the guy that helped bring the old Iron King to power and then left him. You know? Uh-huh. Like this
and still retained his, what was it, his throne or his crown or something?
Yeah, he held his, like, I guess the thing is, like, he held his original throne from when he was, like, early on in his reign.
As a memory of the once great Iron King, like, he still held fondness for his own friend. And, like, that adds so much of, like, to the tragedy of it. So good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, truly like deserving of number one.
I agree. Yeah.
100%. I'm glad we all agreed 100% on every single boss in the best Dark Souls game.
That's what we've all signed and agreed to.
But yeah, this was wonderful. Obviously, there's more wonderful Darkest Dive content, but I want to say a true bottom of my heart thank you to Mr. Dan Tack for sticking around through this entire boss ranking. We would have no other expert on Dark Souls other than you, and this was an absolute pleasure. Truly, thank you
so much for having me, guys. It's always a pleasure to come talk Souls.